Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's the
June.
Moving right along.
June.
Couple more shows, the month's over.
June. Do you like the beginning of the month better or the end of the month better? Do you have a particular time of the month that you like better?
Depends on the month.
June. Do you like the beginning of June better or the end of June?
I like the end of June better. The weather's better.
And let's take I don't know, September.
Yeah, September, I'd probably like the beginning.
The beginning of September. Okay, so you have a definite rating system for the months.
It's not that definite, but I probably do, yes.
Yeah, but okay. Do you get in better moods or worse moods or anything? Is anything that or just sort of subtly in the background?
I don't track my moods, and I should.
Yeah. So I got another call from somebody this week, and he said, hey, you know, you guys are great. I just want to let you know that love the Dvorak show with you. And when's the last time you guys got together and spent some time together? I said, I think it was 2009. I haven't seen John since then.
And then the guy said, you know, we got a timeshare presentation we can bring you guys to.
Probably. We'd probably go too. One of these days, my friend, we're going to get together with a nice bottle of Chianti and an Italian dinner with some Ossobuco and some nice spaghetti with some Parmigiano Reggiano and meatballs.
And a timeshare demonstration.
Well, let's get into the markets and see what's going on here. I'm kind of energized tonight, by the way. Let's see. We got small caps hitting a record. The NASDAQ 100 hitting a record. The S&P 500, Dow Jones Industrial Average, still kind of off a little bit. But seems that people are pretty highly excited. And I guess they're energized over the fact that we are seeing continuation of the very good economic data that's coming out of the U.S. We saw the ISM report continuing to show solid growth. Unemployment is at multi-decade lows. You probably saw that. Italy magically was able to start the process of forming a government after they realized that.
Yes, as soon as somebody took a gun to their head.
Until they realized, oh my God. Wait a minute, markets are serious. If we don't do this, they're gonna hurt our pocketbooks. We better do something quickly. They kind of punished the bonds pretty badly. And those came back. That was a pretty extraordinary move on the bonds, where you had a negative interest rate one day. Fast forward about a month, it was at 1.2% on the 2-year. A couple of weeks later, it was like 2.78%. And then in one day, it backed off down to like 1.5%. That's pretty.
I mean, that's roaming around.
Yeah, that's for bonds. That's pretty astounding.
It's a lot of action for bonds.
Yeah, you could have probably made a pretty penny if you had the right side of that whole thing. But generally, all things are good. Earnings season has come to a close, and there's a sigh of relief that all things are looking pretty. I guess sunshine and rainbows and lollipops. That's where we are now.
Yeah, which doesn't sound. I don't like.
You don't like the song? You don't like the comment?
Not to mention, I don't like the song either.
Well, that's because it was done at the end of June.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. VIX closed below 12.5 today.
Yeah, it's dropping back down to where it belongs, around 9.
Yeah, where it belongs. You think that's where it's going to be?
I think that's the new normal.
The new normal. That's right. You know, it's a good point. You know, you get into a rhythm where the VIX is, let's say, you know, 14, 15 for a while. And you forget that just less than a year ago, it was in the eight, it hit eights and it was nine.
And stayed there.
Yeah, for a while. So I guess 12.5 is pretty elevated in this environment.
Yeah, it's all jacked up the way I see it.
But the headwinds still remain. Tariffs and geopolitical tensions are out there. We got the EU, Mexico, Canada are ready to apply reciprocal tariffs on any tariffs that the U.S. applies. China's putting the screws to us as well. And Mexico just put tariffs on products ranging from steel to pork butts and bourbon. I mean, I guess they're really trying to hit hard the blue collar.
Well, they're hitting themselves hard with the pork butt thing. You need that for carnitas.
Yeah, I guess they're going to hold on to their own. By the way, pork butt, a lot of people, you say, oh, I'm gonna smoke a pork butt. I'm like, ew, what's that? It's a shoulder.
Yeah, it's a shoulder.
But they call it the butt. Why do they do that?
Well, I think you can use both the front and back shoulders because it's a four-legged animal. And the back one is, I guess you could call it the butt. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. But anyway, they're putting these tariffs on. I don't know how they chose these in particular, the steel, the pork, the bourbon. And this is against import duties on the metals that were imposed by Donald Trump, those that were going to have. You remember last week?
Right.
All of a sudden, the tariffs are all of a sudden fair game again. Yeah. So, and now for the official and the unofficial, we'll get to the unofficial in a second, but the official unemployment rate is at a low decade, multi-decade low of 3.8%.
Yep. Believe what you want.
I have a chart of the official while you are going to scramble around.
Yes, you know where I'm going. You know exactly where I'm headed.
And pull up the shadow stats number, but the employment number, you can see this chart is over on DH Unplugged, episode number 410, where we'll have all the various pop-ups that you can gather. Just go over there and check it out. Mine, I will say one thing. The charts that we have, the ones that we at Horowitz Company do, are much more colorful than any of those out there otherwise. So the U6 underemployment rate is at 7.3%.
I'll tell you this much about shadow stats.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in a long time, it is declining.
Okay.
Right now, it's at about 21%.
That doesn't make sense to me. That's saying one out of five people are unemployed in the U.S. Does that seem right?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem right around here, although there are an awful lot of homeless. No, that doesn't sound right. It should be, that's a high number. Yeah.
I mean, maybe one, if you want to stretch it, maybe it's one out of 10. I don't know. Are they including babies? It just seems like,
This is the work. This is the old fashioned workforce. This would be the way they'd calculate this in 1935.
Except for
the fudge factor.
I don't know if 3.8 is right either, but 21%.
3.8 is definitely not right.
So let's cut it in half.
21, it seems a bit high.
So we got 4, we got 21. So let's call it 10 and a half.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should have a new index, the DH Unplugged unemployment rate, which is a split between the official and the unofficial rate.
Yeah, I'm in.
The blended, the official unofficial blended unemployment rate. And we'll charge, by the way, a fee for people to get that information so they could utilize that in their various research pieces. We'll have to copyright it and trademark it.
It's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah. All right. We'll cancel that idea. I don't know if you track this, but the unemployment rate is one of those very important numbers for markets. There's a variety of economic numbers that are really important, but the unemployment rate and the whole NFP report that comes out with all the information is a very important report. That's at least when you score it. And something interesting happened. It seems that there was possibly a little tip-off on the report that came out Friday. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
So according to Reuters...
Yeah, everybody made a big fuss.
Yeah, according to Reuters, President Donald Trump set tongues wagging across Wall Street and among economists on Friday when he tweeted what some viewed as a tip about the big monthly U.S. payrolls report due out later in the morning.
Yeah. And well, I don't know. He didn't really say he'd have too many specifics.
No, but he said, looking forward to seeing the employment numbers at 8:30 this morning. He said in a tweet at 7:21 a.m., just an hour before the highly anticipated news was released. Now, Larry Kudlow, who is the director of the White House National Security Council, said in a television interview later on Friday that he had briefed...
No, he's the head of the economic advisors.
Yeah, what'd I say?
You said national security.
I said national security? Really?
Yeah, go back and listen.
I'm sure I did. I don't have one of those fun things that Adam could do. But He's a director of the National Economic Council. And he said in a television interview later that Friday that he had briefed President Trump on Thursday about the numbers. Now, by law, the National Economic Council is one of a handful of administration officials allowed an advance view of the report.
Yeah.
And typically that's the first Friday of the month at 8:30. And then he was defending all sorts of things. Oh, President Trump didn't do this and he did that. And of course he's entitled to it. For goodness sakes, he's the you know, the big cheese, the president. He gets to see this stuff. There are some very strange laws about the lockup period and how long public officials have to wait until saying something about the numbers. It's like you have to like 2 hour wait or something like that. There's some embargo period.
If you listen to the last No Agenda show, Adam actually dug up a clip of Obama doing the same thing with more specifics.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting. Why is it that everything that is compared with Trump is all about Obama? Were there no other presidents in the whole world before this? Why is it always Trump against Obama?
It's a matter of convenience. You can't get old clips on the internet of Ronald Reagan maybe doing the same thing. But you can of a little bit of Clinton, but a lot of Obama.
So the point
is, it's just a problem. You can't get the resources. I'm sure McKinley, if we could get some clips of him, probably made all kinds of errors.
So this stuff is a matter of record that's easily attainable because it's essentially cataloged by the internet.
Yeah, everything is cataloged. Yeah, exactly.
It's much easier. So, yeah. Made everybody's work a lot easier, but it also made it much more difficult for the more recent presidents. And maybe that's why Trump is getting beaten to death by the media, because everything is just able to be found and replayed, and not to mention he's overtly on Twitter saying stuff. I mean, Obama.
Yeah, I think most of his Twitter stuff now after this more recent thing about him pardoning himself, I've concluded that he's just trolling. Oh, how many news headlines did we get today? Oh, I'm not so sure we didn't get that many. Okay, well, here I got one. This will do it. Watch all of these guys light up.
He does wake up in the morning, I think, and say, "What can I do to stir the pot?"
I'm totally convinced of it now, because that whole thing about I could pardon myself.
That was weird.
Ridiculously, it was just got way too much attention, and he must have just been laughing about it the whole time.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it makes it more interesting. We'll say that it makes the whole presidential process a bit more interesting. I don't know about transparent, but more interesting.
Well. It's funny.
If you go on if you go on Reuters, they have a mobile app for their business, and you go on Reuters business and headline after headline after headline, Trump, 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 Trump.
Yeah.
I don't remember that in past history. And you could say, well, you know, maybe some of these apps weren't available and it wasn't as easy to see, but
I don't remember it either. And you look at the front page of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or the Washington Post, the big three. And it's Trump, 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 Trump. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, big headlines. Now, let's just skip over to the ISM manufacturing and services composite. This was also another important area of the economic reports that came out this week and last week. And I have another chart here. But look at this. This is the blended rate of the ISM manufacturing, which we weight at 30%. And the services index, where we weighed at 70%, which is an approximation of, you know, the current available information of the impact on the U.S. economy, about 30% manufacturing, 70% is services. And that's doing pretty well.
Yeah, that's a good looking chart.
Yep. Over 50, hasn't touched below. This is going back to, this chart goes back to March 2011, and it has not entered contraction ever.
Since then.
Yeah, pretty good.
That is pretty good. And it's way up now.
Yep.
It's not even threatening contraction. It's almost hitting 60.
Yep. We have the big boys hitting new highs. Apple, Netflix, Microsoft, new high. Facebook, new high. Amazon, new high. Amazon has a secret program now to something to do with cancer. Facebook obviously has no problems. As a matter of fact, they all seem to like this privacy issue. Microsoft. buying GitHub for $2 billion. Apple just seemingly unstoppable these days, even though their last report was eh. And sales are slowing down a little bit. But, you know, Buffett's buying pieces of the company. Companies, I don't think Netflix, but Microsoft, Apple, I don't think Amazon either. Maybe Facebook has share buyback. I don't remember if Facebook has a share buyback program, but those two do. But the big news this week.
Not yet.
Yes. The stock starts lagging a little bit. But the big news this week was a $2 billion price tag for GitHub. Now, GitHub had also.
Where'd you get that number? My number was 7.2.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to look this up.
I believe it's higher because their actual income, a yearly income, is $1 billion. So they should be able to shoot toward 10 times revenue, it seems to me, for an operation like that. And that 7.5 sounds more logical. They're not going to do it for 2 times revenue.
That's 7.5 billion. Oh my God, that even makes it more crazy.
Yeah, well, not completely.
Huh.
It does $1 billion a year. 10 times revenue for a company like that is not out of the question.
Amazing that it does $1 billion a year from housing open source stuff.
Yeah, I know. So that's what I said when I was when I first heard the 7 billion, I questioned it. And then I was told, hey, they do $1 billion a year. So, you know, it could be that's not completely out of the question.
So where are they getting the revenue from?
I don't know. I don't use it.
I mean, I've been on it. I've used it. I've downloaded some things.
Somehow they're doing $1 billion. I think you have to pay to be a member at some level. I don't know. Maybe corporations have to cough it up. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I wish I should have known when you asked the question, but I don't know.
Wow. That's shocking. Now, the question, though, the follow-up question is, do you think that this was a good deal? Do you think this makes sense?
Does it? Well, whether it was a good deal or not is it's a reasonably, it's not an out of the question kind of a deal from things that I've seen happen in Silicon Valley where they do the way they price these things. It seems reasonable. Does it make sense? The question is, and this came up at the dinner table recently, was can they deal with the fact that they're actually a company that is entirely subject to the issues of that GDPR coming out of the EU? The way GitHub is set up is it's almost there's a blockchain aspect to it that is a violation of certain kinds of privacy, the new privacy laws. I think that Microsoft may have bought themselves a liability problem.
I mean, the thing is that I totally understand that. And somebody, Keith from the chat room, said that they sell repository services. I get that. And I do totally get that. And I do wonder, though, if Microsoft buys it. And this, I had some conversation with some people I know at Microsoft. Not in the upper ends of it. A couple of people I know in Microsoft and some former employees of Microsoft. And they thought generally it was a good idea because, you know, Windows 10 has a capability to turn on a Linux OS inside the Microsoft. So you could kind of open up a new OS, a Linux session, and you can program in it. You aware of that?
Well, I wasn't aware of that specific thing, but I do know that Microsoft, since this new guy came along, is all in with open source, and GitHub is the foundation for a lot of open source projects.
Well, but what's interesting is that there was a couple.
And it's kind of a sharing kind of a thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's definitely.
I mean, it reminds me of Adobe, and I can never remember the name of this product. Somebody in the chat room would probably know. But Adobe bought this huge operation of artists who share online. They show their art. They ask for criticism. And it became an art repository for people developing Photoshop products and Illustrator.
Photolia?
No. What?
Photolia is the you could buy images.
It's not that. It's got another name.
Oh, okay.
But it's huge, and it's very much like GitHub for Photoshop. But Adobe bought them for almost the same reasons that Microsoft bought. And Microsoft is following Adobe's lead on a lot of stuff. And this may be part of that because Adobe also was the one that really led the way with the licensing, the yearly license or rental, whatever you want to call it. which now Windows or Word 365 utilizes, where you pay a monthly fee.
You know, what's interesting about this is there was also commentary about how smart this was by Microsoft, in that if Microsoft is looking to open up development and get cozy with the developer community again, this could be something very good for them. And they could hopefully get more immersed to a point that they could really do something with expanding the OS and all this other stuff and products, et cetera. On the other hand, there was some discussion that I heard that some developers are a little bit freaked out, thinking that Microsoft is now having the keys to all their code. And possibly that could be, because Microsoft is not, historically, Microsoft has never been shy about, let me see what you have, thanks so much.
Yeah, let me steal it. this is not the, I mean, besides, if it's open source, it's open source. But the new Microsoft doesn't play that game. They're a different company in the way I don't think they would do that, especially with something like this. It's almost like, what have they done with LinkedIn? It appears as if Microsoft is playing the game, the Warren Buffett game, of buying companies and then just leaving them alone instead of trying to incorporate them or merge with them. And LinkedIn's a good example.
But if they somehow connect this to the Microsoft operating system, where you can, if you're in Word, you can download a template, for example. You're in Word and you want an invoice. You type in, okay, let me look at the template library. Let me see what's out there. I want to see an invoice, or I want to see a letterhead. I want to see an invitation, or maybe a label. You can download a lot of that stuff for free because they provided all that. There's either sharing that went on, or users put it up there, or possibly Microsoft designed it to help out their users. It's possible that if they have this Linux, the capability of having Linux inside the OS, whereas now there'll be a button per se that you could do some testing of some of the open source stuff with a direct connection to the GitHub, kind of link it.
I don't think so. I don't think it's beyond. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think that these schemes are going to be employed that you're thinking of. Yeah. I just don't see it.
All right. Well, so bottom line, initial thoughts: beneficial or is it total wait and see?
I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
And I think it's a good thing because even though they're doing $1 billion a year, it's probably better to have a company like Microsoft behind them in a support role to keep them very stable.
Right.
But again, this GDPR thing looms. I think it could be trouble.
The last thing that another person that was a developer at Microsoft mentioned to me was that one of the problems that they had was that a lot of the people that were coming out of school had done development. A lot of the development students and graduates had done development, a lot of the things on Apple and Linux. They didn't have any Windows development, or there was maybe a portion of it, but not a lot of them. And therefore, because of the open source, GitHub with the open source packages and programming, that this would enable them to have kind of a greater ability to bring in developers that have a much greater knowledge of those type of platforms. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Okay.
Not to me.
All right.
I mean, for one thing, GitHub is what it is. And
yeah.
I don't think Microsoft's going to change any of that, at least for years. So, I mean, it's wishful thinking, maybe. We can get them over our side. But Microsoft itself is moving to a lot of open source stuff, and they're very aggressive now. It's not like the old days. I just tell you that.
Yep. Apple is rumored to begin using OLED, organic light-emitting diodes, in their displays in next year's iPhone. I think they use that currently on the iPhone 10 or the iPhone X,
of the iPhones, maybe it is the 10, uses OLEDs. I'll tell you, they're the best.
Yeah, this was pretty much good news for Applied Materials, Advanced Energy Industries, MKS Instruments. There's a few others. OLED is also a company that the stocks rocked on this news and then kind of fell down a little bit. Some of the display suppliers like Samsung are boosting their production capability and capacity to meet the higher demand from that. There's some other companies that were kind of out there all upset because of They're supplying the older version of the display and the tools for, and the equipment and chips and the information, you know, the, all the stuff for the display. They got crushed on this. But kind of interesting. Amazon. Now, you know how easy it is to order from Amazon, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, it's very easy. Go click a button. You say, I want it next day or 2 day or whatever it is. If you're a Prime member, you get it very quickly. You just kind of click, 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 click. I always tell you this. It's like Christmas in my office every day. I get packages every day at my office. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, what did I order? I don't remember what I ordered from 2 days ago. I have no idea. So today I ordered something because I went over to Office Depot today. I needed paper. We don't use a lot of paper, but every once in a while I got to buy paper. It lasts a year for a case.
And you buy a case, yeah.
I buy a case. I went over to, I did one of those, oh my God, I remember when a pretzel was a nickel thing today. I went over to Office Depot and they said, I saw that special case of paper, $52.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, when did that happen? When did, I thought it was like $28. I remember it was like $19 for a case of paper. So I said,
I don't remember it ever being 19 bucks, but okay.
Well, I remember it being much lower than $52.
Well, it's 10 reams usually in a case. And you buy a ream is like $5.
Yeah, but that's today. And if you bought the case, it was a lot cheaper. I'm telling you, I can look at my history.
Okay. All right. So I'll take your word for it.
I said, let me check Amazon.
I think it's beside the point as what you're going to point out here.
Yeah. So the point is, I went to Amazon. I said, let's see how cheap it is. Okay. I found one for $37. I clicked the button to buy it. And did you, if you want to buy it so today is the 5th. If I want to get it with free shipping, which arrives on June 11th through the Thursday, June 14th, it was free shipping.
It's a week.
Yeah. All right. I could take that, right? However, if I wanted it the next day, 2 day shipping. If I wanted it on Friday, June 8th, you see the price
which,
there?
By the way, which is free with Prime membership on most products, although this doesn't appear to be a Prime deal.
Right. The Prime deals were $10 more.
Of course.
The $37 Member's Mark copy paper for the case, if I wanted to get it in 2 day shipping, was $1,070.
Yeah. Seems a bit steep.
What is that? Well, I don't get it. I mean, if I wanted it expedited shipping, would I get it next Wednesday? No,
it's the same. Look at the date. It's the same date with the lower price. Oh, I see. Wednesday, June 13th.
Yeah, June 13th. I want to get it.
Oh, it says anytime between the 8th and the 13th.
Right. Then it would be $952.
Yeah. Well, who are they kidding with this?
Maybe they expect somebody to press it by accident. Can you imagine?
Some dumb clerk who's working in some company and they said, you have to get it here by 2 days. You got to have it here by the 8th. And so he clicks on that and he says, hey, you told me that. But if you're out there and you're a dumb clerk and you're going to do stuff like this, make sure you get it in writing.
Unbelievable. But again, another thing you could find out, you could see this over
that
on.
That is YouTube unbelievable. It's the stupidest thing I've seen for a write-up forever. $1,000 for a case of paper.
Well, no, it's $37 for the case. It's $990 for the shipping.
Well, that's what I mean. It's going to cost you $1,000.
Yeah.
By the way, case of paper.
If anybody needs paper anywhere across America and you want it within 4 days, I'll be happy to deliver it to you for $1,000 delivery charge.
Hey, I'm in on that one.
Yeah. We could just fly for $200, make the profit, and come back.
Carry it as a carry-on luggage.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. McDonald's will upgrade 1,000 of its stores with kiosks and mobile order technology every quarter for the next 8 to 9 quarters.
Yeah.
International markets like Canada, Australia, UK already fully integrated with kiosk services and mobile ordering. And they've been exploring delivery in the U.S. in an attempt to meet customer demand and changes in how customers want to get their food. I can't think of anything more grotesque than getting a delivery of McDonald's. Like a cheeseburger.
Yeah, it's all soggy and nasty. One thing, it's an embarrassment. Their neighbors will see the thing driving in. I mean, do they have are they labeled? I mean, it could be humiliating.
Humiliating. Let's see. I mean, Uber Eats has been delivering McDonald's for a while now. There was a test they probably ran with them. And I saw that for a while there. Marijuana. Marijuana's back in the spotlight. Looks like that Canada may nationalize the recreational use of marijuana.
I already thought they did. What am I thinking?
I think they have some medical use, and now they're thinking about recreational.
thought it was already done. Done deal up there. I must have been getting wrong news feeds.
Canada recreational weed. That's my thing. It's official. Delayed.
Good.
It was delayed. It was delayed. Yeah, it was delayed. It was delayed.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's what it is.
Recreation will be delayed. Hi.
It's always delayed.
Getting my news source from High Times Magazine.
Hey, man, I can't get there to fill out the form.
Dude, I'm not feeling like it. I'm on the couch. In Florida, though, it seems that 91,000 Floridians are buying 56 pounds of pot a week under orders of 1,400 doctors. Florida registers 5,400 new users per week. And that's just medical use. But
this
I must tell you.
Sound right. This sounds bogus.
I have a friend.
And why are they rushing to buy so much? Are they worried they're going to turn the law back around?
Well, let me tell you what's going on in Florida. I have a friend. And this friend has a prescription for the marijuana. And it's not me, by the way. It really isn't me. And this prescription for the marijuana, go to the doctor, and I think you have to renew it every, 7 months or something. It's a weird thing. But you go to the doctor, and it's, okay, what's wrong? Okay. Here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a prescription for X amount of milligrams for the next 7 months. Now, at first, when they did this, was you're only allowed to get a certain amount per week or so, or per month, or whatever it was. So let's say that you get a 20,000 milligram order for the 7 month period. The new law allows you to buy that all up front.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of put.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's gonna rot.
It's in the oils. It's in the vapors. In the wax or in the flour.
It's going to go rancid.
No, it's not. It's in a sealed tube.
In oil, it will.
Why is it going to go rancid?
Oils go rancid. That's what they do.
It's sealed.
Okay. Well, it'll probably last a while. But even olive oil, you don't want to buy olive oil that's over 2 years old.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming that the people that are buying this stuff in that kind of quantity are either smoking the hell out of it or selling it or something like that.
You got to be selling it.
And you could buy all sorts of different things like Gorilla Glue, number 4, I think it is, Dog Walker, Pineapple Express. There's all these fun things out there. Girl Scout Cookie, OGK, Kush. It's like thousands of these different variants that each one of them tells you what they do. I think there's a website called leafy.com. That gives you all the different variants and different strains and what they're supposed to do. You know, this one dries you out. This one makes you anxious. This one makes you excited. This one makes you to sit on the couch for 2 weeks at a time.
Well, at least they're giving some people to review these products. That's right. A plus.
Yeah. And it doesn't look like it's too hard to get this stuff either. You know, you could be like, oh, I got a little pain in the neck and this and that. And
oh, no. Is it in California before it got 100% legal? And they had the medical marijuana. It was a scam. You can go to any of the big marijuana. They had these exhibits, kind of like a conference. And there was always a doctor sitting around. You could just go up to him and bitch about something. They give you a prescription.
Yep.
Yeah. And you didn't even know the doctor.
Yep. Back to one story on President Trump. We got to give him his time here. Back to some of the hoo-ha that's going on. I'm not complaining about anything. Who's complaining? I'm just telling you what's going on. There's no complaint. The chat room saying I'm complaining. Am I complaining about this? I'm just giving you the news.
I don't think you're complaining.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
Hey, man, it's great.
It's all good. It's chill. It's very chill. So President Trump was all pissed off. He's calling for Samantha Bee's firing. Do you remember when I was on her show?
You were on Samantha Bee's show?
Yeah, I was slated to be on with... So during the financial crisis, they called me in.
I don't know she had guests on her show.
Well, it was the John... Before it was the Samantha Bee show. She was with John Stewart on The Daily Show. I was asked to be on The Daily Show.
Oh, you were going to be one of the guys she interviewed and ridiculed.
Well, but I was the straight man. So what happened?
That's what she does. She goes in there and asks a lot of questions. They edit to make you look like an idiot.
Right. Well, what happened in this was during the financial crisis, and they were kind of trying to, you know, shit all over anybody that was going short the banks and short the stocks. So I'm like one of these guys that was at the time saying, you got to short this, you got to go against that, you got to bet against this. So when I got there, there was three people that she was doing the whole shtick on. And I said to her, listen, whatever you do, I'm not going to be a pinata. I'm not going to take it. Don't even try. I said, do me a favor. If you're going to, you know, make a fool out of me somehow by doing some weird clipping, not interested. No problem. We hit it off pretty well. No problem. There was three of us on. Two of the other people, she made look like fools. Me, it was more of the information, at least as I saw it. I was not upset.
Oh, you were being, okay, well, that's not unusual either. She will use the, there's a lot of people that do kind of quasi-interviews and they use this technique where you have one reasonable guy who kind of tells it like it is and then guys that they make to look like jerks. And your job was to contradict them through editing. And to make you help make them look like jerks. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, at least I didn't look bad.
No, which is the main thing.
Right. I don't care. I look good. Anyway, Samantha Bee used a very vulgar term to describe Ivanka Trump. A feckless C word. You could say any bad word with the word after it. The F.
It's the word. C word.
The C word. So a feckless C, she was called, and Trump is calling for her firing.
Yeah, well.
Especially after, you know, Roseanne Barr. Has anybody heard from Roseanne Barr? Where is she? She's gone?
She's still tweeting away.
She was very depressed for a while there. But
well, you know,
she was fired. Why isn't Samantha Bee going to be fired?
That's a whole sociological discussion you can have. And political discussion you could have for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
You're going to get fired.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, we're on to that time of the show where we're going to ask people to pony up. If you're getting some stock ideas that maybe are of interest and education about what's going on, if you like what we're talking about, if you hate what we're talking about, if you want to hear more about firings, hirings, marijuana, or McDonald's, do me a favor. Do us a favor. Donate to the show. Last week was a little bit light. I don't know if it's people are out of money or what the story is.
No, they're sick of us.
Oh, they really? Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
We have a shirt available for episode number 410. That's $410 for a designer, specially crafted artisan shirt. A t-shirt that has been specially designed for the show where we will actually autograph. This only happens a few times. We may not do this forever. But if you want a shirt...
Well, if we do the show long enough and we keep the price the same, we probably would do it forever.
Right.
But I doubt if anybody's going to buy a lot of these shirts when we're at show 1,000.
Correct. That's correct. So now you have your opportunity at the
low price. It's an investment.
Right. And if you saw on Twitter last week, we had somebody on there that locked it up in a wonderful case, put it on their wall, ripped out the required employee rights sign and put it in his office. But if you want, just go over to DH Unplugged, click the donate button. Anything you want to donate is fine. If you want a shirt, we will ship it right out to you, signed by us with the show number on it, suitable for framing, and just tell us your size and all that. $410 is the price for this show. If you haven't done so, if you've been just, you know, if you've just been listening for a long time, never donating, you know what? Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. A little something. You never know. The karma. That's bad. I shouldn't have said that. That's a no agenda thing. The goodwill that could come from this.
Yeah.
And of course, you get to listen to these fantastic Fed limericks.
Oh.
somebody looked up. Yep. It's for 3/17/2009, The Daily Show. Somebody found the video on the chat room and posted the link.
They found it?
Yeah.
You should make a copy of it. You can't.
You guys could tell me if I look like an idiot. Maybe I was the idiot. Maybe I was.
You know, yeah, if it's done well.
Yeah. All right. We have Fed Limericks. We have another one from Simon Davies. By the way, if you want to send in a Fed Limerick, just send us to dhemail@gmail.com. dhemail@gmail.com. And we'll put it on the show if it's, worthy.
Probably if it's anything.
Yeah, it could be.
It's a limerick, which means it's got to be five lines.
Let me get my pen out here. I need a pen. All right, got my pen. First one's from Simon Davies, and here it goes. There was a young man from Nantucket who studied the Fed's beige booklet. Nothing made sense. They had no defense. So he gave up the test and said, fuck it.
All right. Well, I'll give him a C, even though he usually gets much better grades.
He had an A last. Oh, you dropped him last time to a B from a B minus to a B minus, I think. No, from a B plus to a B plus, to a B for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you talked me into it. The problem I'm having with this one is the use of the word Nantucket, which is an old bromide for limericks.
Yeah.
And also Nantucket and booklet.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Let's be honest.
To me, doesn't work.
No.
It's got the rude ending, which is fine. That's probably kept it from going lower, but I'll give him a C.
Let's see. Mine. So we got a C for Simon Davis. Here we go. Mine. Around and around they go. How to keep rates at a low. Without a plan, they shoot from the can. Hot air is all they can blow.
Well, this one, it's well structured. It's tight and quick. But I don't know what shoot from the can means.
Like shoot out of their ass.
Oh, okay. I'll give you a C plus.
So hard to please. There's no pleasing you. No pleasing you. All right. Sit on your limericks and make sure to get a shirt. Make sure to get a shirt. I'm going to hypnotize you now to be buying a shirt. It does help us. We need the money, by the way. Seriously, because it funds all the things that we do. The very high cost of antiquated servers, the live stream, the guys that do all the work on the website to design it and keep it updated. Seriously, all kidding aside, please donate a couple of bucks, if not the shirt. It really helps out. All right, close to the pin. We have a new close to the pin. You called it American Tower.
Yeah.
So that's up and live. You think you have until next Friday until you can put in your price for American Tower, symbol AMT. And actually, I put a link on there also on the Trading View. Oh, I don't know if I told you this. So I had the, you've seen the Trading View charts. Those are all the charts that are in the, that are on the close to the pin pages, all those charts. I interviewed the founder of that company when I was up in New York, Stan Bukoff. What I decided to do with the Disciplined Investor podcast the next couple of weeks is instead of doing an hour-long interview where I interview somebody, talk about the markets and all that, I split it up so we have 2 to 3 interviews, short, maybe 5 to 8 minutes long, of all the people that I interviewed up in New York and putting those out several times per week just as a little tete-a-tete conversation about various items.
Well, sometimes that's good. It's more like a real show.
Yeah.
You know, like you see on CNBC or somewhere, they go from person to person to person to person to person to person.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a different kind of a take on everything. It's a little more condensed.
Yep. All right, moving along. A U.S. judge has ruled that investors who claimed that Theranos had defrauded them into investing directly in the company by touting revolutionary blood testing technology that never existed cannot pursue their claims as a class action. Did you follow this story at all with Theranos?
No, not at all. You back up. What was this?
So Theranos, there was a woman. I know
the whole story about Theranos. I know the woman.
Yep.
I know, you know, the shenanigans. I know everything, but I didn't know about this particular situation where they don't have standing or what's the deal?
So what happened was that in a decision with the U.S. magistrate in San Jose, California, said five of the investors' six claims claimed an element of reliance, making it more appropriate for the investors to sue individually rather than a group. And this was when it was a privately held company, or there was, you know, this is when they were going at the company and giving them money directly. And I think there was maybe a few hundred investors in this that were defrauded. Well, they're claiming they were defrauded, and now the company, you know, basically has no money and trying to hold everything together here over a product that doesn't really do what it's supposed to do.
Get out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they can't do a class action now. They're going to have to sue individually.
There's a small group of guys.
Yep.
The problem is, you know, with this sort of investment at that level, when you're just giving money straight to the company, especially in these operations in Silicon Valley, you're the one that's responsible for the due diligence.
Right. But if they if they defrauded you, though.
It's generally. It's hard to prove. I mean, they may have just, I think that the company was just deluded. I mean, it's nice to think that it was all, you know, a scam, but it didn't have an exit strategy for a scam. I mean, a Ponzi scheme, for example, you know, usually you can keep, I guess, well, maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is it's a shame that the whole thing was it was a scam at some level, but I don't think it was set out to be a scam.
Mm-hmm. In more legal news, a federal appeals court on Friday rejected a bid by Raj Rajaratnam. You know him, the highest, yes. You know, high-profile fund manager. He tried to void void his 2011 conviction and shorten his 11-year prison term. Maybe he'll get pardoned. A lot of people are getting pardoned these days. Maybe he'll get pardoned.
I don't think this guy's on the list.
No? Oh. The Second Court of Appeals in Manhattan said that the Galleon Group founder waived his claim that he actually trades and didn't qualify as an insider trading by not raising an early appeal and did not show he was innocent, blah, 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 blah. He also tried to challenge his $53.8 million forfeiture order. I find that part the most interesting. If he was found guilty of doing this and he had to forfeit $53.8 million, and this is back in 2011, are you telling me that he's still hanging on to this money or it's still in the process where people can't get their money or, you know, the various parties that are suing him can't get their money? Well, maybe it's the government.
It's got to be the government because it's insider trading. Right. I mean, who did he screw?
Right. So he got $53.8 million is still in limbo. He's thinking he could keep that. Yep.
So did he make $53.8 million on his insider trade?
If that's the money that they're saying is the amount that is involved in the forfeiture order that he gained on that. Who knows if that's all there was? That's all they proved. We had a crypto stunt gone bad. It was a stunt designed to play on one of the cryptocurrency's more resilient memes to the moon. Memes. By the way, I had an argument with my daughter about the word memes.
Ah, I can already know what the argument's about.
She says, "Oh, Dad, did you see that meme?" I'm like, What meme? What? This. I'm like, it's a picture with some words on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a meme. I'm like, okay. You want to call it a meme? But a meme is kind of like a broad-based understanding of something. It's a thing.
It's a thing that's going around.
Yeah.
Those pictures you're talking about have been, I don't know who, somebody invented a generator. So they get a bunch of stock photos and you can go on that page and you can type a few things on there and create one of these. And those were called those are actually called memes, but it's not the same meme as, you know, what we're talking about, what we generally refer to, which is a kind of a thought or an idea that's passing through the culture. So you're both right.
What was interesting though, was she was arguing with me that I was out of my mind. These are memes.
No, as far as she's concerned, that is the only thing that's a meme. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Right. So to the moon is the meme. The idea that prices will skyrocket, leaving currency holders rich in the process, cryptocurrency holders, that is. But it was a stunt that left one Sherpa, which is the guides that take you up the mountain, Mount Everest, presumed dead on the top. So Ask FM, one of the world's top 10 social media networks. Have you ever heard of Ask FM?
I have. I don't know where I heard about it, but I've heard about it.
I can't believe it's one of the world's top 10 social media networks.
I don't know that it is.
It was about to release a brand new initial coin offering, or ICO, which giving its early investors a chance to pre-buy some of the currency before its launch. And to promote this, they sent four crypto enthusiasts on an expedition to Mount Everest. The plan was to bury $50,000 worth of the ASKT, which is their cryptocurrency, in a nano ledger at the top of the mountain. They may have done that, but on the way down, they seem to have lost somebody. He was presumed to be dead. What was the most interesting about that was that they said they did this. I guess they came up with this whole thing. Nowhere in this whole PR stunt was it that, you know, somebody died during it. It was kind of a footnote somewhere else. I guess they didn't want to put the kibosh on the ICO or something.
No. Maybe there's some fear that he just went back up to the top of the mountain to steal the thing.
Maybe, and then he disappeared.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
He dug it back up and left. Took the ski. Yeah. He took the skis on the way down.
Took the secondary route. There's no more than one way up.
Now, here's the very, very, very sad news of the day. I know you tweeted about this. This is something that I'd like to get your... let me just tell you what it is. The next edition of the Miss America pageant will scrap swimsuits and will be more, quote, inclusive to women of all sizes, the contest announced Tuesday. Gretchen Carlson, the chairwoman of the Miss America Board of Directors, announced on Good Morning America that the event will no longer feature a swimsuit portion or the evening gown portion. It's going to be a competition, not a pageant.
Well, it's always been a pageant, and she won it once. A competition is like, why watch the NBA finals for that?
I don't even understand what this means. Why can't you keep this as it is? And if you want to have a competition of, I don't know what, the smartest and most.
I think they should have like that thing where you're walking, you know, these hammers are flying around and you get knocked off into the water.
Like American Ninja, but a ninja,
but the one that's funnier, the one that's actually funnier.
Right. One with the oil and stuff like that people get smacked around with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe she wants that. I think the ABC is, you know, taking, I think they decided, and I think they might be right on this, that people are not watching these things anymore. And they're many because of Trump, are to bring him back into it, are offended by these things for some reason. And so, because it's Trump's fault. And I think they're going to get huge. Here's the problem. They're going to get huge ratings because everyone wants to see there's a bunch of fat women in there. Or to see what's going on. They're going to, out of curiosity, people are going to check this out.
It's going to be more inclusive now. Why don't they just put men in there also and not have it Miss America?
You can count on it, but not this year.
Not this year.
Or bearded ladies. That'd be fun. This would become a curiosity. It won't even be a beauty pageant in any way. It'll just be kind of like a screwy thing.
So it's going to be like an America's Got Talent version of the Miss America pageant. The snake lady will be there.
It could be that the talent will really win out on this and it'll be just a talent show. That's possible.
And winning this year is Miss Sword Swallower.
Okay. All right. Next item.
Yep. Dubbing a waste of taxpayer money. The Coast Guard rescued a man who was caught in a storm trying to cross the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat. 52-year-old Duncan Hutchinson was attempting to row from New York to Scotland on Sunday night when he faced 21-mile-an-hour winds and 8.5-foot seas about 20 miles east of Barnegat Light, New Jersey. He called the Coast Guard.
He's only 20 miles out?
20 miles out and only 8-foot seas. What does he expect? Did he think it's going to be smooth sailing across? Is he out of his mind? What was he thinking?
Let's see. What is the month? Well, I guess, yeah. After all the storms they've been having, it seems unlikely.
And for the good news story, we have a good news story. We have some terrible things. We have the Kate Spade thing, which I don't want to cover. It's so sad. We'll talk about it maybe next time. The good news story is a Virginia man won the World Oyster Eating Championship in New Orleans. Listen to this. He ate 480 oysters in 8 minutes.
Jeez. Well, I guess you don't have to chew them technically.
Oh, just can you imagine? I'd be gagging after the first.
Oh, that'd be throwing up.
Yeah.
It would not be a pleasant sight if you think about it.
Right. I told you in the last show that I bumped into a friend of yours from PC Magazine.
Yeah.
I told you that already?
Yeah.
All right. But speaking of which, what are you writing for PC Magazine?
I wrote, you got me again. Damn it. It was a good column on something. I'm going to tell you what it is.
You know what? The guy could have eaten 3 dozen oysters already.
uh, I wrote about FOMO and cell phone addiction.
Oh. What? FOMO of what?
What? FOMO. Fear of missing out.
I know what that means. FOMO of what?
The people, the reason they're, have you noticed, one of the things I noticed, and this was pointed out by Curry, and then I started seeing it. I didn't really pay much attention before. People are walking around holding a cell phone in their hands all the time.
Yeah, it's me.
They're just holding. It's like a purse, but it's a cell phone. Yeah. And they're just holding it wherever they go. They get this, and then they check it every 45 seconds. They just check it every 45 seconds because there's a fear. They think they're going to miss out on something. And I trace this back to the pager, and I just, it's a general complaint.
That's what I do. I have it usually in my hand.
You walk around with a cell phone in your hand.
It's either in my hand or I'm like a quick draw McGraw out of the back pocket. I got out of the back pocket. Look at the.
Yeah, you're a problem.
What kind of problem do I have? What am I fear? I'm fear of missing out.
You're
going to
walk into a hole. You're going to get hit by a car. You're going to run somebody over while you're texting on the car while you drive.
That I didn't say I was driving texting. I said I was holding it. I didn't even talk about it.
It's all the same. But all these people, everybody who does what you do is drives and texts. Admit it.
I think I've done it. Maybe.
Ah, you've already, you just admitted it.
Yeah, I drive and text, but I'm good at it.
Uh-huh.
I'm really good at it.
That's what they all say.
You know, and the bigger problem is now you have these cars that do the early warning if you're approaching somebody else. So it makes you believe that you possibly.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It encourages bad habits.
Right. And if you're not texting and driving, by the way, there's something else. I mean, people don't text and driving. What about just flicking through stuff, you know, just buzzing through, I don't know what, social media, Twitter, Facebook, stock quotes, your email. That's just as bad. You take your eyes off the road.
You should invest in a company or start a company that does heads-up display. So all this stuff that you're talking about is actually projected on the inside of the windshield.
I'm sure these companies have tried that, but it's been put to sleep.
They didn't try hard enough.
Yeah. Let's get over to the stock picks for the week. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind, of any sort, in any way at all. Horowitz Company, John C. Dvorak, myself may own these securities. We'll duly note those. But if for whatever reason you decide, for whatever reason, that you want to, hey, I like that idea, make sure that you do your own research. We're not responsible for anything that goes wrong because these are risky. We have some certain things that we do, like have some trailing stops for the game, but you have to do your own research and seek financial advice. Also, one more thing, you can always see everything about what were the picks that are on the list, off the list, over on DH Unplugged. Click on the weekly stock picks, and you can see actually these things ticking live of what's on, what's off, what the performance has been since inception, etc., which John is now going to go through.
Well, we start off with Facebook at the top of the list, which has been on the list since January, February, March. And I went long.
Two and a half months. Yeah. This is.
It's up 27%. Oh, so it's steady and steady.
Unbelievable.
I have a penny stock, 50 cent stock that went down to 36 cents, but I have a stop at 30 cents and we haven't.
And $2.
And $2 on the high end, yeah. So it's dead money. Well, it's more than dead money. I'm losing, but it looks like to me maybe something I should actually buy. You have, I think this is your short Tesla, or is that my short?
That's me.
You shorted Tesla, which was smart, and it's down to 291. You're up a couple, 3%. Those Russian funds that I picked are dynamite. They're both up. One up 23%. The Lark is up. Insider Biogen is up 10%, and that's pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when was that? That was like the beginning of the month.
Yeah, it was a month, the beginning of May.
Then I shorted, or you shorted. No, we both shorted.
You did it. I talked about it. You hit it.
Oh, okay. Deutsche Bank, up 14% on the short. Dynamite. Then the new one that came up is a down, is dead money, no up or down, it's down 0.6, which is Eagle Point Credit, which was an insider's thing. Where's all your picks? You got one more, Generic Holdings, you're up already up almost 1%.
I had a few that came off. Some, I'm going down my list here. Let's see, episode 400, I got the list right here. Let's see here, Direct, the 4 or 6 Match Group is down 6%. JNUG was up 5%. My Facebook short was up 5% that was kicked off. My buy of USD was up 3% that got kicked off. Sleep Number
got kicked.
Editas up 4.5%. Yeah. So a lot of stuff came off, and then I've been doing a few things. I've been a little bit busy the last month or so, I'd be honest with you. Between traveling to New York, and I got massive amount of things going on with clients, all good stuff, but a lot of stuff, and traveling. I had some people come down for a few days for a site visit. There's a lot going on.
Okay, you got your excuses.
But I do have a pick for this week.
Finally.
I'm going to pick Macy's short. Now, let me just say, this thing's been on a tear. It's gone vertical. The idea that, it's not so bad. This stock was $20 back in October. Kind of started creeping up when there was all this negative sentiment about it. The malls are dead. Nobody's buying it in these big boxes anymore.
Go to some of these malls. It's unbelievable.
They're dead, right?
Oh, beyond dead.
Yep. But somehow Macy's doubled over that period of time. The talk is, they're doing better merchandising.
Doesn't make any sense at all. Well, what is something else going on? Are they going to get bought out by Amazon?
Right. That's the interesting question. But it seems that the talk of the town is, hey, they're better at merchandising. They're better at inventory control. They're better with their online. They're not giving as much discounts anymore. And there was a lot of short interest in the names, and therefore it popped up. And the hope is that, all things will be solved, that the Amazon situation, isn't as bad as what everybody is predicting.
Amazon's only a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I agree. So I looked at the stock chart today, and it's at a point that is, if you look back in time, there was a gap that it filled on the upside. After it ramped up, it was, it's up 8% today. It was up several percent the last few days. And it's moved up, like I said, dramatically over the last couple of weeks. And I'm thinking that this thing is possibly, done, and I would like to get in on the short. And does it have 10% more on the upside? Possibly, but I can't imagine unless, like you said, something else is going on.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. That's a good short.
So my thesis is ridiculously overdone.
Well, I have one pick.
What do you got?
This is what I've done this before. I see these stocks. I look at the chart and I say, my God, I did this a couple of years ago. And of course, as soon as I did it, it was a jinx, but it's still something I always kind of look at and go, why would you not be in this stock? And you do it by looking at the chart, and this thing goes up, 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 up. Not a lot, but it just keeps going up. Morningstar, MORN.
Oh yeah, yep. That company is. Let me put this down here. MORN. Morningstar is a company that is involved in the financial industry, and what they do is that they provide ratings, analysis, research. They originally did on mutual funds, then they spread out. Now they have stocks and they have all that, but they also have what's called APIs. So for example, we use various services to grab data on fundamentals on the part of the data set. Bloomberg has it. Y-Charts has it. Reuters has it. Thomson Reuters. Where I can pull that information into Excel and actually slice it and dice it and do all sorts of stuff. So aside from the research that Morningstar has, they also have the ability to take that research and information into my own system, and then I can do my analysis. So they've probably done very well in a boom for financial times, if you will, and doing very well with that.
Well, so, it's one of those stocks, if you just look at the chart, it's kind of hard to believe.
So we're writing... Awesome chart.
Awesome chart.
Awesome chart.
How long it will continue, I don't know, but I don't see this. I don't see it any. It doesn't look like the kind of thing that would collapse if it might downturn at some point and then get out. But it's hard to imagine unless, it turns out the whole thing is a fake.
Well, unless all of a sudden as more financial individuals get into the business because the times are good. You need more seats, and it's like Salesforce. You got to buy more seats. You got to buy more of the subscriptions. And, you have a situation where and the more investments that come out, the more ETFs that are born, the more mutual funds that come out, more research has to be done. And same thing with stocks. Yeah. So it goes along with the market. It's definitely probably very oriented with the market returns. All right, just to follow up and to sum up, shirts, $410 for this episode. Go over to the donations tab and grab that.
Autographed.
Yep, autographed by us and sent in hopefully a beautiful envelope done by a Dvorak family member. And
with me. She likes doing them.
Yep. So make sure to get those, and you can donate and send in your limericks to dhemail@gmail.com. Of course, you can listen to John talk about all sorts of very fascinating areas of the news, deconstructing it with Adam Curry each and every week on Thursdays and Sundays at 12. Yeah, I'm going to send you pictures, by the way, of some food this weekend. I'm having a crawfish boil at my house.
Oh, great.
I got 80 pounds coming in from New Orleans this weekend of fresh live crawdaddies.
So do you use the, what sauce do you use? Crystal?
Well, we have to cook them in Zatarain's.
No, I'm talking about not for that cooking, but for the, you know, the hot sauce.
No, they're hot when they come out. They're spicy as whole hell.
Oh.
Oh, my God, they're spicy when they come out.
I was still.
Lips on fire spicy. And I'm gonna smoke some ribs. I'm going to actually smoke some chicken and pull it and make some pulled chicken for some sandwiches. And have lots of fun.
Sounds like a winner.
Yep. Next time you'll come, maybe.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right. All right. Till next week.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.